We know that each and every moment, each and every day of Hanukkah holds tremendous amount of koach, tremendous amount of power. I'd like to focus in Emir Tzashem today on the final day of Hanukkah, the day that's called Zos Hanukkah. And we know in source number one, Rabbi Strickhoff's Sefer Inside Hanukkah, the reason why it gets this name Zot Hanukkah, this is Hanukkah, is that the Torah readings for the days of Hanukkah are taken from Parshas Nasa and describe one by one the korbanos, the offerings brought by the Nasi, the prince of each tribe for the Chanukah Samishkan, the inauguration of the tabernacle in the desert. The Torah reading for the last day of Hanukkah ends with a tally of all the offerings brought, since that section begins with the word Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach, this was the dedication of the altar. And since it is the Torah reading for the last day of Hanukkah, the last day of Hanukkah is called Zos Hanukkah. That's why it gets its name. We know the last day of Hanukkah is referred to as Zos Hanukkah, which literally means this is Hanukkah, because the eighth day encapsulates within itself the essence of the entire Hanukkah. I'd like to try to explore Emir Tzashem today, is what is so special about Zos Hanukkah? Where are the sources for this specialness? What are we supposed to be doing on Zos Hanukkah? And again, as I've said many times, I'll say at the outset, we're mamish just scratching the surface, but hopefully enough to inspire us to live a Zos Hanukkah this year at B'yas Goel in a totally, very radically different way. Perhaps on the most simple level, which is obviously not so simple when we're talking about the number 8, is what's brought down based on Sefer Todah, and again, Rabbi Strickhoff's Sefer in source number 2. We know that all the previous 7 days add up to this day. This is the highlight. And he notes here that there's a lot of comparisons between Hanukkah, the 7 days of Hanukkah, and Sukkot. There's a lot of Torah on this. And the eighth day after Sukkot is Shemini Atzeret, which is that day where Hashem says, Kasha Lai Pregatzchem, very difficult for me to leave you. That is parallel to Zos Hanukkah, the eighth day as well. So already we see at the height of Sukkot, really the height of all the Yamim Noraim, which is Shemini Atzeret, it's parallel to also a number 8. Shemini is the eighth day of stopping. It's also parallel to Zos Hanukkah, the eighth day of Hanukkah. What is so significant about the number 8? So in source number 2, the little one, throughout Hanukkah, we work up to 8 with excitement and enthusiasm each night. And again, this is very important. Albeit that we're speaking about Zos Hanukkah, what we are saying is very relevant. All the Torah we're going to teach today is also relevant to Hanukkah itself. And you can't have a grand climax unless you've been working on building. Like Lahavdil, the grand slam is only when you've been able to load the bases. So we need to be working on the things we'll talk about, things we've spoken about over the many years, Baruch Hashem, to be able that the climax should indeed be the Zos Hanukkah. But nothing compares to actually experiencing the strength of 8 when it arrives. What is 8? It's the next step after 7, which represents nature, as the world was created in 7 days. And then was set into its recurring natural 7-day cycle of the week. 8 represents eternity and transcending nature. It characterized taking the step from 7 to 8. 8 is the number of days following a birth when a baby boy receives a bris milah. He first lives the initial 7 days, advancing from day 7 to 8, transcends nature by having a bris milah, which represents surpassing of the natural boundaries. It's the elevating all that one does to a higher spiritual plane of avodas Hashem. It's interesting, he quotes here Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik Zatzal in on the pasuk of Shabbat, Kivo Shabbat Mikom Lachto Hashabera Alukim Lasot. For it on Shabbat Hashem rested from all his work that Hashem created to make. What is that expression, Lasot, to make? And he notes that Hashem set the entire natural world, the bracket of 3, in place at creation, but left it to man to take the creation to the next level. The work was not complete by the 7th day because it would be man's task to complete it by taking the next step from day 7 to 8, elevating nature to spiritual heights. That's why we're here, my friends. We're here la'asot. We're here to take the natural, the 7, and work into the world of transcendence, the world of 8. Being 8 days, Hanukkah is about reaching beyond the natural order in our spiritual aspirations. The first 7 days are preparation to take that step. and the eighth is actually taking the step. And this is why the Yavan philosophy focused on the number seven. Taking the step to eight was objectionable to them. It would mean admitting that there's a higher wisdom than theirs. Such acknowledgement would bring with the responsibility that comes with recognizing Hashem in this world, the divine authority. Although source reality was truth, they did not seek the truth. And that is why they were so against the number eight. And hence we understand in source four why they outlawed one of the gzeiros, one of the decrees, with not having a bris milah. A bris milah represents that level of transcendence, that level of eight. That is why as well, lashkicham terasecha, they tried to make us forget the Torah in the bracket in four. The Torah was given after a seven-day period, right? 49 days, and it was given on day 50, the day of transcendence. That's what the Torah is all about. This is what the Greeks objected to so much. And that's why the next page in Source 5, top left, Zos Chanukah, is the essence of all of Chanukah, because to know what Chanukah is all about, is to know that the eighth day, that Chanukah is 8 days, is what Chanukah means. It's our answer to the affront and challenge of Yavan. It's a day in which we take all the lessons of the first 7 days and implement them by moving forward and leaping to the transcendence of the 8th day. It's therefore a day that combines the combined spiritual energy of all the days of Chanukah, such that the potential for spiritual growth on the 8th day of Chanukah is heightened. It's an opportunity to be taken advantage of and not to be missed. But you know, the Sichur Yitzchaskut Rosi Meir Zilberberg takes this level, step one step further. And he says, we know that the cycle of the Chagim begins in the month of Nisan by Pesach. And then we begin the year, right? That's the Rosh Chodashim, the beginning of the month. And then we begin the year, and again, it culminates in Purim. And then once again, as a spiral, we start Pesach again. Purim, we know that we don't say Hallow. Megillah is the Hallow. The last Hallow of the year, so to speak, for a holiday, not for Rosh Chodesh, for festivals, is Chanukah. And he notes here, V'hine harigali matchili minisan var Chanukah, nimsa shezot Chanukah, hi heyot ha'charon bo gomrim et ha'Hallow. This is the last time we say Hallow on Yom Tov. And it's like going up on a ladder. We begin on Lel HaSeder. We begin the Mariv of Pesach night where we begin saying Hallel. That's the beginning. And it goes higher and higher. And notes the Koshen Termagid. We then take that apex, that pinnacle is on Ha'achrot Shel Hashanah. Hiya Hallel Shazos Chanukah. Wow. It's the height. It's what we've been working for, not only all of Chanukah, but for the entire last 9 months. We've been waiting for this moment, for this hallow, for this praise to Hashem. We've been building up. This, my friends, is a crescendo. Zos Chanukah is the hallow of all hallows. This is our time to connect to Hashem. So my friends, there's, as I mentioned, so much to say about Zos Chanukah. In order to give us a bit of a structure, I'd like to take the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the following structure. And that is, historically, what is embedded in the Chumash, in the Torah, on this day of Zos Chanukah, that we can already see a precedent that this day has so much power to it, has so much koach to it. And if I'm able to understand what was the precedent for this day, I'm able then to tap into what the koach, what the power of this day is. And I'd like to suggest three. And all of this is really based on a very important premise. And I brought it as one source, quite a number of sources, in Sifti Chaim Chelik Bezer of Chaim Freelander in Source 7, where he speaks about Ki Torah Kadma La'olam, that the Torah we know preceded the world, Gemara Pesachim Nedalet Amar Aleph, L'galo V'lo Dia Keinat Tliya B'Zman V'lo B'Makom V'lo Shum Davar Acher Zulata Ki Hi Mechavenet L'Tachlit L'Atzma. The Torah preceded the world. The Torah is not dependent on the world. It is the source of the world. And that's why Ein hakavana mibchinat hazman. It's not just talking about time. Ela kedei likbos shatorah hi hadavar rishon b'mayla v'yesod hakol. It's the foundation of everything. And that's why a kolponim lefizeh, the arrow ein litlo netinat mitzvat hatorah b'ikvot iruim elu shel galut v'yitziyah mitzrayim. Kim lahefach hamitzvot hein hasiba legalut v'yitziyah mitzrayim. Don't make the mistake that we have Yitzhak Mitzrayim because we left Egypt. We know Avraham Avinu kept, matzah. It preceded this. It happened way before this. Rather what? Rather, in order to make it easier for us to have understanding of what Pesach is about, so Hashem took us out of Egypt on that very day in order to help us. But the whole idea of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the whole idea, right, we know, we've spoken about very recently that Hashem, that Yaakov Avinu got the bracha, right? Yitzhak Avinu says, the Talei Shamayim are open tonight. There's something embedded in the air that Yitzhak Avinu gave these brachos on this night, way beforehand. And therefore, you can't say that this was the time, it's only Pesach. This time preceded this time. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand that this is happening before. This is embedded in Bria's Olam. So this is clearly true. If this is clearly true in terms of the mitzvot from the Torah, it is equally true from the mitzvot to Rabbanon. We know that the mitzvot to Rabbanon are really rooted in that the Chachamim saw that there was a need to make these holidays. And when the Chachamim saw that there was a need to make these holidays, they therefore understood that there must be something in this time that is forcing them to create these holidays. And that's why Chazal tells us, the Gemara and Shabbat says, they waited a year, and then kavum vasa'um lahalo v'hodaya. Why did they wait a year? Because they understood that there was something about this holiday. Many miracles happened. They understood there was something fundamental about Hanukkah, that the ha'ara, the power, the light was still around the next year. And they understood that we are uncovering something that was found even before the story of the Chashmonaim. And therefore, by making this holiday a holiday for all times, there was something that happened at this particular time of the year. So I'd like to suggest two things that preceded the holiday as we know it of Hanukkah. One specific to Zos Hanukkah, and one on the whole day of Hanukkah, with emphasizing Zos Hanukkah, and on both levels we'll understand the godless of Zos Hanukkah. The Shir Pinchas or Pinchas Friedman notes the following. We know the Gemara tells us that whenever we are outside of Yerushalayim, or even in Yerushalayim, we face the Beis HaMikdash, we face the Temple, and we know, he brings down here, that when Yosef HaTzadik was in the house of Potiphar, he prayed regularly toward a particular window in his master's house, which faced toward Yerushalayim. Already then, Kim Beit Elokim v'Zeh Shaar Shamayim, they knew that Yerushalayim was the place that was the gateway to heaven. And therefore, his father's likeness appeared to him in the very same window that he always prayed toward. Now, he then brings an idea, and again, my friends, understand that whatever we're saying today is so deep, and if we don't understand it, it's because of our limited understanding. But again, keep in mind our preface, that all of this is understanding what is found in the fabric of the creation. He brings here an idea from the Imre Noam. Yosef ordeal with his wife's master concerning matters of Kedusha, right? When the Asha Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, tried to induce Yosef to be with her. When did this happen? It happened on Zos Hanukkah. And the appearance of his father's image in the window occurred on the eighth day of Zos Hanukkah. And he shows a hint at this in the following. We know that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim, which is Shir in its own right, parallel the different days of Hanukkah. The eighth of the Midos HaRachmim is Notzer Chesed, which is the same numerical value, 412, as Bayit. The word Malachto, he went into the house to do his work that night, possesses the same numerical value as Zos Chanukah. And the word La'asot, right, the Pasuk says, Vayavo Habayta La'asot Malachto, he came into the house to do his work. The numerical value of La'asot, 807, is the numerical value of Shemen Zayit. So the Imri Noam says, we can therefore understand the Pasuk the following. He entered the house to perform the holy task of lighting the Chanukah candle. This occurred on the eighth day of Chanukah, as alluded to by the word Malachto, which equals Zos Chanukah. Hence, in the merit of the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candle, he merited safeguarding from the performance of Aveira, consistent with the notion one who observes the mitzvah will know no evil. There was something about lighting those Chanukah candles on Zos Chanukah that saved him from doing this Aveira with Mrs. Potiphar. So there's something intrinsic in this day that calls for the lighting of the candles even before the Chashmonaim story happened, similar to making matzah or giving the bracha on the night of that Yaakov Avinu gave Yitzchak Avinu the two sheep, one for the Korma Pesach, one for the Afikomen, right, the Chagiga and the Afikomen, that's why he couldn't eat from Esav's bracha. They were keeping Torah even before there was Yitzchak Mitzrayim. There is a correlation between this day that demands the light even before there's a Chanukah story. But it goes much deeper. It's not by accident that the eighth day of Chanukah, that Yosef HaTzadik lit these lights and he was saved from this sin. We know in source number 10, the Megale Amukos points out, Antiochus is the same gematria, Antiochus was the king of Greece, is the same numerical value as Yosef. And Melech Yavon is also the same numerical value, 156. Just in parentheses, when we say it's the same numerical value, it means that there's an intrinsic connection between them. Because unlike, you know, the Roman language where the letters are really meaningless, every letter in the Hebrew language is understood on many levels. Pshat, Remes, and Drash, the formation of a letter, like an Aleph, is really the middle line is a Vav, and the top and the bottom are the two Yuds. Yud, Yud, and Vav is 26, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the numerical value of the name of Hashem. Aleph stands for Alufel Shel Olam. The very letter itself represents Hashem's mastery of the world. That's what we need to understand. That's not just playing with numbers, it's playing with the essential aspect of what the item is. End of parentheses. The great Rabbi Rupshitz explains in Zera Kodesh that the Klipa of Yavon, Greece, involves immorality, transgressions in matters of Kedusha, right? We know one of the things that they forbid was going to the mikvah, and we know the whole story happened with the Yehudis, that the law was that before you got married, you had to marry, you know, a Greek general, and that's why the women are the play such an important and focal role. The miracle really was, you know, Afheim Ayubel Tel Nates. They really were saved. And hence women don't do malacha the first half hour when the candles are lit, because it's really a celebration for them. So there was tremendous amount of immorality. This particular aspect was a major transgression of the Greeks. It is precisely for this reason that they abolished the mitzvah milah. Hence, the Kedusha of Yosef HaTzadi, the representative of the attribute of Yisod, counteracted the Klipa of Yavon, which attempted to breach and destroy Yisrael barriers and matters of Kedusha. And now I understand that the whole idea of Bris Mila is trying to protect this idea of immorality. They didn't want them to have a Bris Mila. Who is the counter to Yavon, to Antiochus? It's Yosef. Yosef is the mid of Yisod. Yosef HaTzadik was able to withstand this test of immorality. So he therefore becomes the one who's going to be the antithesis and the anchor, enabling the Chashmonaim to be able to vanquish and to return the Kedusha back to Klal Yisrael. And that is why he goes on to say that the Klipa of Yavon, which covers the Bris, 12, that is hence the king of Yavon, possesses the same numerical value as they as Yosef, for they oppose each other. And here you see, on the one hand, in the Arrow 12, Yosef and his Kedusha, a profound influence upon the Hashmoneim, adhering to his Kedusha enabled them to defeat the Greeks. On the other hand, by fulfilling the mitzvah of Alakas Ner Chanukah, he derived moral strength from their Kedusha, enabling him to remain steadfast in his Kedusha Mitzrayim. It's almost as if we're going back and forth, an arrow on two sides, that Yosef HaTzadik is giving strength to the Hashmoneim, and the Hashmoneim, who are in battle with this very aspect of the Avanim of the Greeks, is giving strength to Yosef HaTzadik. So now we understand, my friends, on a little bit of a deeper level, that Yosef HaTzadik, who's lighting these Hanukkah candles, knowing in the future that this miracle is going to happen, and as if he's sending out, you know, this energy of Kedusha, of holiness, he himself is getting a response by being able to withstand. It's not by accident in 14 that Ba'osa Shah, if you take a look at the Medrash, Ba'ata Dikuno Shalavi Vinirata Lo Bachalom. The language of Chazal is, at that hour, the image of his father, Vinirata Lo Bachalom, appeared low to him. What is the to him alluding to? The Lo is Lamed Vav, to the 36 candles we light, without including the Shamash. The candles that we are obligated to light are 36. And that is what it means, at that hour, the image of his father appeared low to him at the moment when the 36 candles were lit. And Chalon, if you move it around, is an acronym for Lamed Vav, 36, Neros Chanukah, the 36 aspects of Chanukah. So we now understand that Yosef lit the 8 Chanukah lights in the window of his room facing the location of the Mikdash. He did so to celebrate the fact that the Hashmoneim would establish 8 days of Chanukah in the future. To commemorate the miraculous occasion, their ability to resume the observance of the mitzvah of Milah on the 8th day. Therefore, his father's image appeared to him in the very window that he lit the candles, in order to extend Kedusha to him from the 8th day of Chanukah, corresponding to the mitzvah of Milah, which has the power to weaken the 8th sar of lust and desire, and to imbue a person with the Kedusha, the Bris, which is the Mid of Yesod, which is Yosef HaTzadik. We'll just end this idea with the Imre Noam that points out that originally, when the Chumash describes in Parashat Vayeshe, the relationship between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Ki ben zkunim hu lo. He was to him a child of that he taught, a you know, child of old age. So again, we find the numerical value that ben zkunim hu lo, again the lo is the 36 candles, ki ben zkunim hu is equals menorah, which is 301, va'asa lo, and he made for him a ketonet pasim, is 417, which equal to zayit. So we have the shemen zayit, we have that Yaakov Avinu, and we know that the Sfarim speak about this, that what was the Torah that Yaakov Avinu taught him? Ki ben zkunim hu lo, he taught him the Torah. What exactly was the Torah that he taught him? He taught him the Torah of Galus. He taught him the Torah of how to survive in exile, because he knew, he understood, that this child was going to be in exile. And we know each exile has different components to it. He was teaching him, ki ben zkunim hu lo, what the exile of Yavan is about, what the Midah of Yesod is about, what it means to hold firm to our status of being able to have the Kedusha, the holiness of a Jewish home, the Kedusha of a Bris Milah. And therefore, it makes so much sense that his father, who had taught this to him as a child, now when he then sees that he is tested in this very area, he sees his father with those Chanukah candles coming to him as a reminder, whether he actually saw him or saw him in his mind, because he brought back with the Chanukah candles the message that his father had taught him, that you need to withstand and hold strong in this type of galus, in this type of exile. On this level, Zos Chanukah is a time to be able to hold strong in the area of Bris Milah, in the area of Kedusha, and the area of holiness. And indeed, again, Rabbi Strickhoff in 17, just to round out this first level, first idea of the first level, he says, we know the famous Beis Yosef question, why Chazal established on 8 days of Chanukah, when it seems that Chanukah should have only been 7 days, and we know there are over 100 answers given. And one of the answers is that the Avanim, the Greeks, specifically outlawed three major ideas, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila. By having an eight-day holiday, we make sure that we celebrate, or potential can celebrate, all three. Within 8 days, there's always a Shabbos. It happens to be Rosh Chodesh Teveth falls out on Chanukah. And if a baby boy is born and all is well and healthy on the first day of Chanukah, you can have a bris on the eighth day of Chanukah. So in order to be able to have all three, we are making a statement that that which they wanted to abolish, we are holding strong. But it goes deeper than that. When Aaron Ravinu performed the Bris Mila, the pasuk tells us, "The Zot Briti Asher Tishmeru Beini Uveinechem VeZaracha Charecha Imolachem Kol Zachar." Zot Briti, this is the Brit. Zot Chanukah, therefore, is really a reference to Zot of the Avraham Zot Briti, that when I am ensuring that I'm keeping the holiday of Chanukah, I'm linking myself back to the bris, to the covenant that was made to Avraham Avinu. It's linking me back to the Torah and to my stalwart relationship with upkeeping the Torah at all costs. Okay, so we see that precedent in Chumash for Chanukah is indeed, Zos Chanukah is the Yosef HaTzadik withstanding the test of ancient Potiphar, being able to hold strong in this idea of Bris Mila. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, okay, how does this relate to my life? Okay, if we have the schus of having a bris during Chanukah, Matov Manayim, then I understand, I'm connected to that idea. But if we don't have a bris, so then what is the philosophical concept that we can learn from this idea of Yosef HaTzadik for our own lives? And I'd like to suggest two on this level. The first is the idea in Source 18, Vayom HaShmini Shal Chanukah Keneged Yom HaShmini Shal Bris Mila. The Zos Chanukah, the Zos Brisi, is corresponding to the Bris Mila of Chanukah, and many of the Sfarim bring down that this was something that was revealed by Eliyahu HaNavi to the great Tzaddikim, that the secret of Zos Chanukah is the secret of Bris Mila. It's coming from a very, very ancient and holy source. But it's not only a physical bris mila, it's also the idea, shalumaltem et orlat levavchem, and you shall circumcise the orla of your hearts. You should not only circumcise in a bris mila, but there are things in your heart that are blocking you from connecting to God. All those blockages within us, in our heart, our ears, our eyes, that's stopping us from having a life of Kedusha, of connection, these are the things to remove. Hatzos Chanukah. It's a different type of bris. It's a different type of circumcision. The Urchos Aaron, this is based on the teachings of Rabbi Aaron Mikarlin in source number 19, brings down from the Ari HaKadosh, who quotes from the Sefer Barayim, Shibazeh Yom Zos Chanukah 19, Nishlam Avodos Yamim HaNarim HaMatchilim Mimei Elul HaKadoshim V'Roshan HaShana Rabbah. V'Azu Ikar Gmar Chasima. At the end, final day of judgment, is really not Hoshana Rabbah Shmini Atzeret. The end, final day of judgment, it's Zos Chanukah. And again, there's a lot of Torah supporting this. I push it didn't have time or space to go through it, so you can imagine in the Hasidic Sfarim. It's interesting, the Litvish Sfarim treat it like Chanukah. The Hasidic Sfarim, you'll notice all these sources, our Hasidic Sfarim takes Zos Chanukah to a whole different dimension. The Chen Katab Sefer Kodesh B'nei Yisoschar. Ita Shiner HaShmini Shal Chanukah Yosa Bechina Atzma Shal Shmini Atzeret. Right? The Shmini Atzeret, the height of Sukkot, is what we saw. V'lachein Omrim HaSadikim Shebechanukah Yigmar Chasima. This is the end of the Chasima, of the judgment. U'betam in 20, Divrei Koshon Nireh Kinei Kvar Noda Shiner Chanukah Hilamata Masar. What is the beauty of Chanukah? Is that Hashem Kivyachu L'Shechina comes down lower than 10 Tvachim. What does it mean that Hashem comes down, kivyachol? It means that even the simple people, even the people who aren't normally, you know, feeling connected and feeling inspired, that's why any oil, which can't be used for Shabbos, can be used for Chanukah. Every, even an ish pashut, a simple person, can be able to reach the great heights on Chanukah. So what we need to understand is that Chanukah is a time for each and every one of us to be able to recognize the koach we have of tshuva. The koach we have to make changes. The koach, the power we have to be able to take away the blockages that are stopping us from connecting to Hashem. And that's why he brings in 22, the Sefer Yisod v'Shorash Avoda, that in Rosh Hashanah a person should take on himself a hanhaga tova, a good deed, a something, a kabbalah, from here on I'm going to be better in this small area. And this Kabbalah is what is going to hold them in good stead. We too, on Zos Chanukah, should take on something small, that this is our way of sealing in and being able to make that change, to say to Hashem, I've heard the message. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to move a little iota forward. As we've spoken about the idea of what type of tailor, of seamstress works for nothing, and the answer is, not in terms of financially, the answer is one who sews but doesn't have a knot at the end of the thread. So they can sew, 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 and then, yep, it all pulls out. We can have all these experiences of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. If you don't have a Kabbalah, if you don't have a knot at the end, what have you gotten? Chanukah, which is such an exalted time for those who are the most pashut yids, right? They say that a child can be born after 7 months or after 9 months. From Pesach, 7 months is Tishrei, and the Hamon Am is born after 9 months, the regular people. This is the time that Tinok Shenola Dami, a Baal Tshuva, like a newborn person. This is the time that we are born. This is the time that we develop. This is the time that we can make the changes that we need. And in fact, on this level, this is a hint, we've spoken about this before, Rabbi Biederman, Berachayim to a dreidel. That with a dreidel, you spin it, and it goes round and round and round and round, but what really counts, if you're playing a dreidel game, is where it stops. And so too in life. You may have wasted a lot of time, you may not have done all that you wanted to do, and you can't say, wow, that's all spinning around. Bottom line, where you land. Zos Chanukah, what tshuva have you done? What kabbalah have you taken? To say, well, I haven't, I've wasted, fine, you're spinning the dreidel. But sof kol sof, the dreidel has to land. Sof kol sof, by the time Zos Chanukah comes around, we have to have taken on that kabbalah, and we're ready to move forward. The Tiva Moadi, Rav Gamliel points out, to a certain extent, the energy today is even greater than the times of the temple. Only 7 candles, which is corresponds to Olam Hazeh, to this world. On this level, you know, you may be now, you may shmona, it's the higher level comes on Chanukah. And that's why, from this higher level, Bina, Hizua, Marera, Bnei Israel, Yehuri, Tshuva, if you're connected, and even if you're not connected, there are, from this level of Bina, this higher level of understanding, there is an energy of Tshuva, Lashu, B'chol, Leiv, Elav, Yisbarach, to return to Hashem. And that's why, the time of Zos Chanukah, the day of 8, the day above the natural, the day of you may Shmona, you may Bina, this time is a time of Tshuva. If I do things that aren't appropriate, because I'm living in this world. But when I get a light from a different world, when I'm able to experience the light of the eighth light of Chanukah, then I'm working into a world of completely transcendence. And transcendence, I'm able to have the energy to go back to self. That's the world of tshuva. In Cain, therefore, kol adam lishtadel b'yom zeh lashkiyas man v'kochos, and the squiggly in 25, find the time, find the energy, the night of Zos Chanukah, the day of Zos Chanukah, to daven for ruchnias, to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, to be strengthened in emunah. Really, we should be working on this all the time. But there are certain days that are highlighted, certain days that are inherently, as we saw, connected, certain days that give us that koach. And obviously, as Urchot Aaron points out in 26, Haragya Benir, having low bunim tamid dechachamim, one who is accustomed to having a candle will have great children. Well, many people light candles, Shabbos candles, Hanukkah candles, they don't necessarily have children tamid dechachamim. So it explains Haragya Benir means Largila Tanerva Ora Kol Shana in the squiggly 26. To put the energy of the light, to take the light of Zos Chanukah and be able to implement into the year, that is our challenge. That is the great gift of Zos Chanukah. So on the first level, how does the Bris Mila affect us? to be able to have our own type of covenants, our own types of removing those things that are blocking us from connecting to Hashem. So Chanukah has an energy of the number 8 above and beyond the Beit Hamikdash 7 candles, have a Yihurei Tshuva, to be able to return back to the core self. It's a time of Zman, Gemar Chasim Adin, that whatever judgment was going to be made during this coming year, we have the ability to change it on our davening on Sos Chanukah. We have the ability to change all of those ptakim, all of those notes that the angels are bringing down, Sos Chanukah, we have the ability to rip them all up and have a new Gzeira, have a new decree, a positive decree. This is the time to make those changes. This is the time to step forward. This is the koach of Sos Chanukah. The second idea I think that we can learn from Yosef HaTzadik's story that's embedded in Sos Chanukah is an idea from the Sefer B'Yam Derech Rav Zilber, where he points out that the Ramban notes were in Source 27 on Pre-Eitz Hadar, that it's the Esrog, it's a beautiful fruit, that many opinions say that it was the fruit of the Eitz Hadar. The beauty of the Eitz Hadar was a Taiva Hilei Naim, was something that really drew her and brought the world down to its downfall. However, on Shemini Atzeret, the day itself is Hadar. The day itself is beautiful, so we don't need an Esrog. The day itself has this ability, Lahachnia Tavat HaYofi, to be able to supplement that physical beauty and be able to channel it into the spiritual beauty of connection to God, where you don't need any mitzvahs. It's just you and I, says Hashem, being together. And we know that similarly, the whole idea of Yavan was, the Tumas Yavan was about their being drawn to physical beauty. Whether it's beauty in the world, in architect, in art, the beauty in the physical body, they were into the chitzonius, into the physicality. And all of Chanukah is being able to counteract that. But Zos Chanukah, which is parallel to Shemini Atzeret, has that attribute of Shemini Atzeret where itself is a hadar, itself is the beauty. She'etzem kedusha shiyom Shemini Atzeret ba'al lachnisa l'kedusha kol ha'yofi. It's able to take all that outer, external beauty and say there is only one beauty, Zekeli Vanvehu, to beautify my mitzvahs with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the power of Zos Chanukah. Etzem Tokvo, the end of 27, Shal Yom, Machnia Tuma Sayavanim Shayu Sogdim Latarbura Gufa Yofi Achitoni, Lachni Sakola Kedusha Pnimi, to bring everything into the Holy Kedusha, to bring everything into being able to elevate what they looked at as outer beauty. We understand that we're going to take that beauty and elevate to Hashem. We'll take that silver and put it in our Shabbos table. We'll take those beautiful clothes and wear it for Shabbos. And it's fascinating, in 28, that Begalei Mukos that we saw, that Antiochus Melch Yavon is the same Gematria as Yosef. How is Yosef described? Yosef is described in the bracket in 28 as Yafei Tower of Yafei Maret. That's beautiful. But Yosef was able to take that beauty and not get lost in it, and not get submerged in the depths in it. He had the koach to be able lachnia klipa shel yavanim. And this is our job. Chanukah is a time in general to be able to fight the war of the klipa of Yavan, to fight the war that Yosef HaTzadik was fighting. Don't get caught up in the external world for beauty for its own sake. Don't get caught up in this world of having more and more for more sake alone. Be able to penetrate the physicality and be able to find the spiritual core and be able to not get lost in all the external trappings and forget why we're here and forget the beauty and the spirituality which are inherent in this world. And with this we can perhaps appreciate the Kedushas Levim 29 points out that they found a jar with the chotem, with the seal, the Kohen Gadol. Technically speaking, he points out that the Kohen Gadol did not seal these jars, right? They had officers who sealed them. Can you imagine the Kohen Gadol walking around all day and nothing better to do but to put his stamp on every jar? No, they had Gizbarim. They had people who were appointed to do that. What does it mean by the Chotem of the Kohen Gadol? It's much deeper than that. It was oil that was able to not be affected by the outer surroundings. It was oil that wasn't contaminated by a world of getting lost in the outer trappings and the physicality. This was an oil which had the stamp of what the Kohen Gadol represented, the idea of Kedusha and Tara, of purity and holiness. Well, this we can appreciate in 30 and 31, the Olos Ephraim, who explains the machloka between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, do we go 1 to 8 or 8 to 1 when we light candles? And we know the Gemara tells us, the Beis Shammai says we start at 8 and we go down to 1, and Beis Shammai's reasoning is it parallels the Korbanot HaChag, the cows that were brought on Sukkot, that we started with 70 and when we came down to Shmini Atzeret to 1. On this level, says the Olos Ephraim, what we're really saying is that the only way to get rid of the outside influences is slowly start taking away more and more. Get rid of this in your house, get rid of that influence, get rid of this. Slowly, slowly, get rid of those things that are blocking you from connecting to godliness. Those things that are just, you're swamped in the physical world that you forget why you're here. That's the sheet of Beis Shammai. Start getting rid of the Sur Meira. Beis Hillel says there's a different way to do that, and that's Asei Tov. That we're mostly for Holech, that we go Ma'alim Bakodesh, we move upward. You start with a little of Kedusha in your home, and then you realize how precious Kedusha is, and you add some more, and you add some more. When you have so much Kedusha, it's going to drown out the darkness of the Yavan. It's going to drown out that world which is so empty, so futile, and be able to enlighten yourself with that core of spirituality. That is really what they're arguing about. And that's our job. In 23, this is our job on Zos Chanukah, to be able to understand that our, back to 31, that a little bit of light can be able to get rid of a lot of the darkness. And that is the focus of Chanukah. So of course we celebrate Chanukah, we have a good time on Chanukah, and it's a beautiful, you know, holiday, but let's not get lost. It's a day of tshuva. It's a day of taking this candle we've spoken about before, to be chapes baneros, to search inside of ourselves, to find that core, and to be able to do this very, very deep introspection. What is it that's my Orlat Halev? What's blocking me? What do I have from the outside world connecting these first two ideas together? What do I have from the outside world that's stopping me from being on that level of Yosef HaTzadik, that I'm able to have the strength to resist the temptations of this world? And I have to ask myself, is Beis Shammai going to work better for me or Beis Hillel? Is it going to be Sur Meira? Is it going to be Asei Tov? And for every person, we have to examine and say, what is it that I need to remove? Or what is it that I need to add? Do I need to add more music in my home that my kids feel a simcha of Yiddishkeit? Do I need to take my kids on a trip every Rosh Chodesh? You know, maybe even take them out of school a little bit early or do something special, major Rosh Chodesh party, that they're going to feel the simcha of Yiddishkeit. What is it that I need to do that the be mostly faholech, to bring more light, bring more spirituality, bring more energy into my Avodas Hashem? That, my friends, is the first idea of what has happened in Jewish history on Zos Chanukah. A little bit later in the Torah, we have something else, another event that transpired during Chanukah, and particularly Zos Chanukah. The Lekach V'Alivu brings down the Psikta Rabati, which says the following in 32. Amar Rabbi Chaninya, B'Srim Chamisha B'Kislev Nigmaram Alechen HaMishkan. On the 25th day, right, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down the 11th day of Tishrei after Yom Kippur, and he vayakel, he gathered the people, and he told them, start gathering materials, which they did in no time whatsoever, and start building. And they had tremendous resources. By the 25th of Kislev, on that day, which is the first day of Chanukah, they finished building the Mishkan. And it sat folded up until the first of Nisan, when they inaugurated it. So Hashem said, you know what, I need to pay back this period of time. It has in the Bekoach, in the potential, such great holiness. And that's the holiday of Chanukah that Hashem paid back, that he didn't have the inauguration of Chanukah during this week, but rather he waited till the time of Nisan. Notes of Sfasemes, who says, the fact that they were able to do this so quickly, to be able to build potential Mishkan for Hashem to come down, that Moshe Rabbeinu already blenched them, and he said, V'hi Noah, the capital that we mention in at their candle lighting. Yiratzon Shetzia Shechina b'Maseh Yedechem. This all happened on the 25th of Kislev. Now we know, and that's why we read about the Nesim. We read about the princes, because really the princes were supposed to bring their sacrifices on the, starting now, starting at this time of Hanukkah. Now we know that Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan for 7 days, put it up, put it down, put it up, put it down, and then on the 8th day, by Hiba Yom HaShmini, then they brought all the inauguration sacrifices. And we know that that day was supposed to be the day of the greatest simcha, al oso ayom, shayakiv yachol simcha, sekadosh baruch hu kamo, beis briya shamayim v'aretz, the bracket in 32. The Gemara Megillah tells us, yudim abeis, that this was a day that brought joy to Hashem, like the day of the creation of the earth. And this was the day, v'ya'omed oso ayom, lios tikun olam, Tikkun HaShalem. This should have been the ultimate day. This should have been the day of the grand finale. Had Nadav and Avihu not brought that korban that day, this would have been almost the end of Jewish history. Everything would have been fine. So that, my friends, work with me closely. If Moshe Rabbeinu brought up and took down the Mishkan for 7 days, and on the 8th day is when he inaugurated it, so we see here that had Moshe Rabbeinu done that with the Mishkan on Kafei Kislev, put it up and took it down for 7 days, what would have been Vayhi Bayom HaShmini? Zos Chanukah. Zos Chanukah has in its potential to be able to be the day of the Tikkun Olam, the Tikkun HaGamor, just like Rosh Chodesh Nisan had that potential to be the grand finale day, so too, Zos Chanukah has in potential, in Bekoach, in its very fabric, to be the Tikkun, to be the end. And that's why he says, in Kain 33, the bracket, Muchan Kizeh Hayom Hu Mesugal Tikkun Olam. This is a day to fix the world. Yom Shemesh Bokorach Laso Mashayat Zerich Lishov Bishmini Elimelum. Vashem Zeh Bavarotein Ol Takin Olam Machut Shakai. Even if we aren't able to fix the whole world, Aval Olam Kotan, double underlined, the Hainu Adam Atzmo, Hare Bivada, Yishmakom Lutakno Biyom Zov Chanukah. Perhaps you can't fix the world, but you can fix the mini world, and that's yourself. Zeh Hayom, today, Zov Chanukah is a day that we have the ability to do major things. This is the power of Zos Chanukah. It's a day of tikkun. It's a day of embedded in it. It's a day that had the potential to be the grand completion of all of creation. It was a day that could have brought a simcha like on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What does this mean? To metaken ourselves, to fix ourselves. In what way is this even different than tshuva, even though it's very similar? So I'd like to suggest a very deep idea before we come back up to earth. Now, the Lekach HaLibu for Shur in 34, who has a piece just on Zos Chanukah, notes, the Chasam Sofer is Mechadeh Shegeval Dechidish. He says, and it also answers the question why we have 8 day holiday if a miracle happened only for 7 days, we had enough for 1 day. He says, when they originally lit that menorah, Yarad Eish Min HaShemayim Ala Menorah, a fire from heaven came down on the menorah, and that is what enabled the oil to last. It wasn't really burning. What was burning? The fire from heaven. And the fire from heaven obviously never goes out. Sheino Mechale. So that is the greatness of the 7 days. But there was even a greater miracle on the 8th day. Ubelochet the asterisk of Sashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neisha Eisha Malo Sheino Mechale, Nishtanet Tivo, V'kilat HaShemen. What happened on the 8th day? The fire from above, which never goes out, like the fire on the Mizbeach, that fire stopped, so that only what was lit on the 8th day was that original oil. The miracle of the 8th day is that Hashem removed that extra special fire. What is this all about? So he says that the whole idea of the Nes of Chanukah, he brings down from the Ur Gedaliahu, the whole idea of Chanukah, a menorah, is the menorah reminds us of the power of Maisim Tovim, the good deeds of a person, the Keter Shem Tov. And you see this, the Medrash speaks about the Pasuk in Iyov, L'maseh Yadecha Tietzov, that Hashem longs for the work of our hands. And what is, the Medrash says, the model of our work of our hands? That's the menorah. That is the menorah, which is very wondrous, because if anything, the menorah represents something Hashem Kivyachol doesn't need. Hashem is all light. Hashem is all fire. Why would He need us to make a light to light up when He doesn't even need the light? So the Medrash comes to answer, Elomer Midrash, the end of 34, L'maseh yadecha tichsof, kol ha-mitzvos kulam hei be-menor. You're right, all the mitzvos are light. Kiner mitzvah terasor. U'be'asiyos ha-mitzvah kulam ha-likiner. Ev'akulam ne'mar l'maseh yadecha tichsof. The whole idea of the menorah is really a paradigm to all mitzvos, that Hashem is doing this, He's accepting our mitzvos, because He desires us. He desires what we do. He wants a relationship with us. And that is why Hashem even does this miracle. Like, why? Where do you see that Hashem will do a miracle for a mitzvah? Like, it's so bizarre. Right? So you can't light. Or, you know, Tuma Hutra B'Sibor, you're allowed to light because everyone's impure. But to do a mitzvah, to do a miracle for us to do a mitzvah, it's showing us, Hashem, how beloved is. And that's why the Rambam calls this mitzvah Chaviva Yadmar, very beloved mitzvah. The whole miracle of Hanukkah is Hashem's way of blowing us a major kiss and hug. I love you, and I love what you do, and I want to show you how chaviv, how special it is, that here's a mitzvah I don't need. I don't need the light. You'll be allowed to do it in another way. But I'm doing this miracle for you because I want a relationship with you, and I want you to know how much I love when you do mitzvahs for me. If that was all 7 days, on the eighth day, Hashem does even a bigger miracle. He takes away His fire, and all that's there is our fire. The eighth day is like the most intense relationship. The Zen nitkabel b'yom chet echanaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hafach tiviyut ha'esh b'chdei larot chavivut ad kedei kach. Hashem is making such kivyochol, such a statement on Sos Chanukah, on the eighth day. He says, I'm taking away my fire. All I want is your fire. All I want is your handiwork. All I want to focus in on is what you are bringing to the relationship. And he says, this is why Sos Chanukah the Hasidim call Dosis Chanukah. That much Yiddish I know. Don't ever underestimate how much power and how beloved is everything that we do. To know the importance of a Maisa Mitzvos. And every mitzvah we do enlightens the world. And that's what we have to take with us from Chanukah. To do the mitzvahs with that fire, with that forbidden, with that light, that what we do has importance. It's beloved to Hashem. Never underestimate ourselves. Which leads us to the idea we probably almost have done probably in every Hanukkah shir, or if not in every many. Perhaps one of my most beloved ideas of Hanukkah, and that is in 37 and 38, Rav Pinkus. What should we take from Hanukkah? Ki adam rotze b'chol maldo b'kochol l'garesh et ha-choshech. We have to get rid of the darkness. And you want to know what the greatest darkness is? It's machshevet hakatnut. The greatest darkness is when we are enveloped, and that's the tikkun olam that we have to do, when we're enveloped in our own darkness. When we say, what big deal, if I say a bracha, I don't say a bracha. I invest in it or I don't invest in it. I do this mitzvah, I don't do this mitzvah. I push myself to my full limit or I don't push myself. Does it make any difference? And the answer is yes. That's what the menorah teaches you. That's what Zot Chanukah teaches you. Hashem pulls away His fire. He says, I'm interested in you. I'm interested in your mesirus nefesh. I'm interested in seeing what you can do to light up the world. That's what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is to find the fire inside of us. Chanukah is the mu'at of machzik et ha-merubah, that small light that's able to encompass so much. Chanukah is to be able to take a look at our potential. And don't look at it as, oh, I'm so small, I'm a nobody, what difference does it make? L'maseh yadecha techsof, Hashem desires our small steps forward. Because these are the steps forward that will make us great. And He wants us to be able to peel away that darkness in us, that makshevet hakatnut, and push ourselves and say, you know what, I can accomplish much more. I can do the mitzvahs with much more bread. I can invest more of me in what I'm doing. Why sell myself short? The Sichat Chatzkut notes so beautifully. He says, the gematria of Chanukah imakola with the word, which is allowed in the gematria world, it's tzaddik, is 90. Tzaddik is a tzaddik. And we know that there are 36 Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, 36 holy righteous people. And each of the candles represents one of those holy people. We have to bring out the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim in us. What is found in the outer world is found in us. There's a tzaddik in us. There is this element in us. We have to be mosi faholech. That's what Chanukah is about. To find that nekuda, to find that spark of greatness in us and develop it and fly with it and daven for siyata d'shmaya. As the Baruch Chaim, Rabbi Nachman points out in the asterisks in 40, this is another idea of the dreidel. He says, if a person can find that omek bepnimos halev sheba rotzon emet lib karev el Hashem Yitzbarach, to find that point of you really want to connect, you really want to be able to make yourself, make something of yourself in the time that you're living in this world. He says, take that dreidel. It's a symbolism. Spin it. You do one turn, one spin, and it goes on and on and on. You need to find that one nekuda, that one point, and Hashem will take it from there. Hashem will move you forward from there. But you gotta take that dreidel. You gotta take that point. You gotta find that nekuda, that point in you, and fly with it. The Sichor Yitzchaska takes this one step further. He said, the 36 candles that we light, again without the 8 for the Shamash, correspond to the 36 hours that the Or HaGanos, that the concealed light was lit at the first, at the beginning of creation. And those 36 lights parallel the 36 Masechets in the Talmud, which parallel the 36 hidden Tzaddikim in the world. And we know that whatever is found in the outer world is found in our inner world. In each one of us there is that Or HaGadol. It's not just in the menorah, it's found in each one of us. Our 36 candles we're lighting are the Or HaGadol, the original light of creation. We're igniting within us the 36 aspects of the Tzaddikim that are found within us. And every time we light the candles up to 36 should remind us, where's that Lamed Vav Tzaddik in me? Where's that point of me that is so pure, that is so good? Am I bringing it to the fore? And then he goes on one step further. I thought this idea was gevaldic. I mean, everything's gevaldic, but this really touched me in 42. That if the 36 hours represent the original Or HaGadol, so you have 12 hours on Friday when Adam is born, he's given this light to see from one end of the world to the other, as we've spoken about at length many times, and the 24 hours on Shabbos. The end of Chanukah, the Zos Chanukah, which parallels those 36 light. What's the end of Shabbos? It's Shal Shudetz. It's known as Ravim de Ravim, the Ratzon de Ratzon. Our Zos Chanukah, our time of Chanukah, is Ratzon de Ratzon. In Zos Chanukah, when we light the 36 candles, which come from the original 36 hours at the Or HaGadol, the concealed light, the light of clarity, the light that God created the world with originally, which was then concealed, that's what comes to our home every Chanukah. Chanukah isn't just Chanukah. Chanukah is the time of the Tikkun Olam. Chanukah is the time of Bria Sa'olam. Chanukah is the time to develop ourselves to our fullest. Chanukah is the time of creation. Chanukah is the time of Ravim de Ravim, of Ratzon de Ratzon. And therefore, my friends in 43, the B'nai Soschar, as well as many others, brings down that we know, Asher b'Chanukah yesh makom la'orer pikudas akarim v'akaros ke'en Rosh Hashanah. And there are many reasons why Dafka and Zos Chanukah. One reason is the 36 Masechet is Nida. But based on what we're speaking about, that this is a time of creation, this is a time of Ravim de Ravim, Ratzon de Ratzon, of the divine favor of all favors, this is a time to daven for children. People who don't have children, people who have children, to daven that they should be successful to raise their children, but people who don't have children, Zos Chanukah is one of the most gevaldic times, and the power of Rosh Hashanah to daven. You know, I just to share a quick story, and then we'll conclude here. A few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I was sitting at a chasna with a woman, and she was telling me about, she has a son married for a number of years without children, and I told her, you're in Eretz Yisrael for Chanukah. There's an idea that Kivur Rochel is even a holier place to daven than the Kotel, which boggles our mind. I said to her, go to Chanukah, Kivur Rochel, daven there for your family. So she told me when she came back, she has children here, when she came back to visit, she told me She said, I want you to know the satan was out of tight. This thing happened, that thing happened. Finally, we get out to go, and our car breaks down. My daughter's car breaks down. And I said, no matter what, however much it's going to cost me, I'm going to take a taxi to Kever Rachel. She said, I got there mamish minutes before Shkia. But she said, nothing was going to stop me. I wanted to daven Zos Chanukah by Kever Rachel. And B'chastei Hashem, she davened for two families, her son and another close friend's children, and both of them got pregnant within that year. And she came to thank me. I said, don't thank me. It's a school of Baduka. That Zos Chanukah is a gewaldic time to daven. And I saw it last year. I tried to go Zos Chanukah to daven for a student of mine, and I was blocked. They blocked the road. You couldn't go in. And I said, that wasn't a good sign. And Mirtz Hashem, this year I should have the schus to go, and this couple still needs a Yeshua, 42. Not only for Akarim and Akaros, ki yom zeh mesugal lamshich bo kamam nei Yeshuos l'chol lamitzdarach begufo v'nefesh. This is a day to bring down Yeshuos. It's mamish, a time of favor, a time of closeness, in all areas, physically and spiritually and psychologically. It is such a time of favor. It doesn't matter where you live in Australia or America, it's a time of favor. It's Zos Chanukah, the night and the day that the Sforim bring down, that what a tzaddik can accomplish on the Ila of Yom Kippur, a regular Jew can accomplish on Zos Chanukah. That's the power of this day. Daven for yourself, daven for others. We know that anyone who could daven for their friend and they don't do it, it's nikra chota. Daven is a sinner. Daven for the Yeshua of Klai Yisrael. Scream out in the Valencia, Lishpoch Levo Kamayim, Shemrazola Olam, Layetzer Machshavos Levavam Chava, Chelum Avam Elecha, that all Jews should be connected to Hashem. And we know the Berach Chaim brings in 44 that the parts of Berkas Yotzer, Or, and Shachris, Paul, Vuros, Osa, Chadashos are eight languages. The Adonah Niflaot is the eighth day, that this is the Anhaga of Niflaos, of above the natural order. Me'eif Hashem haita zot, he niflos beinenu. That's what Zot Chanukah is about. Me'eif Hashem haita zot, it's going to come from Hashem. He niflos beinenu, it's going to be wondrous in our eyes. This is the time to daven for whatever anybody needs, to sit by the candles, to grab a Tehillim during the day and use that Tehillim. You have a few minutes. Take a longer lunch break. Don't get lost on Zot Chanukah. The Satan is rearing its head. And be able to mamish daven for yourselves, for Am Yisrael, Chesed Avraham in 45, to daven Yom Suga Lorer, to Geula Shlema, to daven Zor Chanukas, be Yom Mashiach, so to daven for Mashiach. It's a day, Arachti Ner L'Mashiachai, it's the final challah. This should be the challah of the Geula. And hence, it's no wonder, which is the shirin of itself, always need to have what to work on, like Achalibur brings out from the Bells of Rebbe, that aside from the Mizmori Tehillim that we say on at night after lighting the candles on the eighth night of Chanukah, we add Mizmor L'Todah. It's a time of mamish, a korban todah, a time to give thanks to Hashem for all that was and to anticipate for all that will be. It's a time of Adona Niflaot. It's a time of masterful changes that can happen and miracles. Mm-hmm. My friends, my bracha to all of us is that all of Chanukah we work on tshuva, we work on that dreidel of the being able to make changes and to take that step forward and to have that movement and to be able to daven by the candles every night. But let us not forget the power of Zos Chanukah, the koach that Yosef HaTzadik invested and that Yaakov Avinu invested in this day, the day that we can be miskaber on our yetzer, that we have the strength to stand up for what is correct and take away the obstacles in our Avodas Hashem, to be mostly faholech, to be able to realize that it's a day of connection, of hadar, of beauty, of taking all of our taivas and be able to channel them to Hashem, all of our desires. It's a day intrinsically that could have been the finale, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Yom HaTikun. It's embedded in this day. It's a day where we can change the world, we can change ourselves, we can be able to make through our tefillah, through our davening, through our Torah, through our learning, through our mitzvot, we can make those changes. We can do that internal examination, that we can bring the tikkun olam within ourselves. We can daven to be able to bring that tikkun olam in others, to eventually to daven to bring the tikkun olam, the rectification of the world, that be us go up in Hei Rabbi Aminu.